and time for us to move to Tech Tuesday. We want to focus a little bit on a very interesting development that's happening in the tech world, centering and, I suppose, unraveling inappropriate terminology within the tech space in places that you would least expect it. Emma Dix joins me for Tech Tuesday.
Breakfast with Rafilo Emoloto on Cape Talk.
Good morning, Emma. Good morning, Emma. Welcome to Breakfast with Rufilo. How are you doing?
No, very well. Thanks for yourself.
I'm great. It's so interesting to see the far-reaching impact of, I suppose, a greater awareness of injustice, racial as well as class and social. And interesting to see it finding itself in the technical tech world. Talk to us a little bit about that.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I think what's interesting here is this issue of, you know, particularly the terms master and slave. That was already something that was being looked at in 2014 when some companies led the way and they replaced the terms master and slave with the leader and follower, I think, or replica, primary and replica. And yet we still have this terminology of master and slave, which is used in thousands of lines of code.
Yeah, Emma, let's take one step back if you don't mind. All right, so Microsoft GitHub is now removing those titles. Won't you just help us understand exactly what a master is in coding and what a slave is?
No, absolutely. So I mean, essentially, they're these terms that are being used, master and slave, and I don't think the issue is, you know, so much what they precisely mean, but the issue is that these are, you know, non-affirming terms that are used in thousands of lines of code. And, you know, while some companies have, you know, years ago started removing those lines of code, there's still large companies that are being called to make the move and change them. And, you know, it's going to require a huge amount of energy to do so. But my opinion would be that I think it's always good to sort of take a step back and look at the broad purpose. And the challenge that one's really facing is how can one make the tech industry more inclusive? And then this issue of using more affirming language that affirms the identity of Black developers is one of those ways that one can do that. And I think people have got, you know, really sort of bothered by, you know, the potential granularity of this issue, but, you know, and it might feel quite innocuous. You know, one could argue that, you know, master refers to mastery or something like that, but you know, step back a while ago in our country's past, and we were in a situation where people felt it perfectly okay to refer to a grown man as a garden boy, which we now definitely recognize isn't something that affirms him as a human.
Sure. I mean, Emma, I think that's something in recent decades. Slavery has ostensibly been open for centuries, mm-hmm. and the internet has not been around very long. So you're the founder of Codespace. I want to get a sense, and this is why it's important, I think, to understand what the terms are used for, because I want to know if these are pervasive terms in the industry, or is it an inside club? Is it something where I start coding as a young Black programmer, and I must just master in the better meaning of the word master, and master using this in my daily in my daily language?
No, these are very pervasive terms, and so it is extremely important that they are removed. And for instance, the big players, the issue here is that, for instance, say if Mark Zuckerberg stood up and said, actually, we're removing this from all of Facebook's code, internal and external, that would then massively lead the way and would very, very quickly lead to the change that's being called for. And I think that's really the issue there is there the desire from leadership to do so? And if one were really asking the question of saying, how can we, as the tech industry, not just stop using non-affirming racist language, but really start imagining and being creative about how we can use pro-Black language, you know, that's the approach that we could be taking. There's an example that comes not from tech that I really love, that I think sort of casts one's imagination, is the example of how Finland started referring to people as new Finns instead of immigrants. And I think this is just a wonderful example of affirming the value that these people can add to Finland. And in the same way, in the tech industry, how do we make sure that the language really affirms the value that everyone can bring to the tech industry?
Yeah, I don't know how, maybe you can give us a perspective on how it is in South Africa, a predominantly black country, but let's talk about the roots of tech, right, which are Seattle, somewhere between Seattle and Silicon Valley. Notorious for exclusionary behavior, not just around race, but around gender. Terrible stories around the attempts of women in tech trying to rise, faced with media like, you know, Fox News like, you know, sexual advances and harassment, notwithstanding. I mean, you know, the founding of Facebook is on the basis of rating women. So let's talk a bit about, like, how useful is it for us to shift terms if attitudes haven't changed?
Right. And then, yes, that is exactly the issue, is that if this stands in isolation, it cannot be enough. But this changing the language that one uses, it has to, it's one of many interlocking things that needs to start changing. And language and the terms that one uses, you know, when one's thinking about identity and how one affirms someone's identity, has really far-reaching repercussions as to who's feeling invited into the industry, which will eventually get us to the point where there are more diverse people able to, when the next coding language is being written, if depending on who is now how writing that, these same issues won't arise with True. As much likelihood.
Okay, well, this is really nice to, it seems delayed. It's terrible to think that an industry that was founded in modern times has still got this terminology, but it is everything is a reflection of our society. It's nice to see that things like blacklist and whitelist have been changed to block and allow. And hopefully we'll see something that's, disruptive enough to awaken people to their, biases, and shift the environment in its entirety.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it will, if we're looking at these, so most definitely seeing this is not the main issue. This is just one thing that the tech industry can do. It can't be seen as the be-all and end-all, and really sort of changing the perspective of, instead of saying, oh, how much are we being policed, but rather saying how inviting can we possibly be? It would really sort of change the way that we look at these kinds of issues.
Indeed. And it's obviously a very clear symptom of very monolithic workspaces. So if a place is predominantly white and male, there will probably not be that many people who find a problem with that terminology. So also changing those workspaces, I'm sure, has also shifted the discourse to a large extent.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Emma. Nice to see that tech continues to be on the front edge, or the cutting edge, hopefully, of shifts and changes. Emma Dix is the founder of Codespace, giving us some perspective on how that is playing out around the world. How would